from listeners like you and by McDonald's, serving Rollo McFlurries and Arctic Orange Shakes. McDonald's, open daily in the Valley in Juneau.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 5th of June, 2012. It's the birthday of the novelist Margaret Drabble, born Sheffield, England, 1939, author of 17 novels. Most recent one was The Sea Lady. Last year, a collection of her short stories, A Day in the Life of a Smiling Woman. Margaret Drabble, who wrote in her novel A Natural Curiosity, one character says, "England's not a bad country, it's just a mean, cold, ugly, divided, tired, clapped-out post-imperial, post-industrial slag heap covered in polystyrene hamburger cartons. It's not a bad country at all. I love it." It's the birthday of the novelist Rick Riordan, born in San Antonio, 1964, the child of teachers. He was a teacher himself, interested in Greek and Norse mythology. He told his sons Greek myths as bedtime stories. He set out to write a book about a young demigod in contemporary America, a half-human son of the god Poseidon, a boy who has ADHD and dyslexia, learns his true parentage, goes on a quest to retrieve Zeus's lightning bolt. He first told it to his son, who told him he should make it into a book, and it became The Lightning Thief, the first book in the popular five-volume Percy Jackson and the Olympians series for young adults. It's the birthday of the poet Federico Garcia Lorca, born in Fuente Vaqueros near Granada, Spain, 1898. His most famous book of poems, Gypsy Ballads, came out in 1928. It's the birthday of Bill Moyers, born Hugo, Oklahoma, 1934. Known for his public affairs programs on television, his interview series including The Power of Myth and A World of Ideas, and Moyers and Company. And it was on this date in 1851, Uncle Tom's Cabin began its serial run in abolitionist newspaper The National Era, ran in weekly installments for 10 months. Published as a book in 1852, by Harriet Beecher Stowe, it sold 300,000 copies in the first year in print, attracted thousands of people to the abolitionist cause. Here's a poem for today by Mary Cornish, entitled Numbers. I like the generosity of numbers, the way, for example, they are willing to count anything or anyone, two pickles, one door to the room, eight dancers dressed as swans. I like the domesticity of addition, add two cups of milk and stir, the sense of plenty, six plums on the ground, three more falling from the tree. And multiplication's school of fish times fish, whose silver bodies breed beneath the shadow of a boat. Even subtraction is never loss, just addition somewhere else. Five sparrows take away two, the two in someone else's garden now. There's an amplitude to long division as it opens Chinese takeout box by paper box, inside every folded cookie, a new fortune. And I never fail to be surprised by the gift of an odd remainder, footloose at the end, 47 divided by 11 equals 4, with 3 remaining, 3 boys beyond their mother's call, 2 Italians off to the sea, 1 sock that isn't anywhere you look. Numbers, poem by Mary Cornish, from Red Studio, published by Oberlin College Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Nook, Simple Touch with Glow Light by Barnes & Noble, designed for bedtime reading. Glow Light offers paper-like reading with the lights on or off. Available at neighborhood Barnes & Noble stores or Nook.com. Produced by Nick Vetter, written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's just 13 minutes before 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're in tune to KTOO News. This is Juneau Afternoon. Just got a new weather forecast in. It calls for numerous showers instead of just scattered showers. Lows around 45, southeast winds 10 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, scattered showers. Highs around 58 to 62, northwest winds 10 miles per hour. And then Wednesday night, going to cloudy, scattered rain showers and lows around 47. Looks like Thursday, showers are likely. Thursday night, showers are likely. Friday, it says mostly cloudy with scattered showers, and Friday night looks like mostly cloudy. So by Friday, maybe by this weekend, we get a little mostly cloudy and partly cloudy and like that. The transit of Venus is happening until about 9 o'clock tonight. The shadow of Venus is moving across the surface of the sun. We are not probably going to see it here in Juneau, but if you tune to any or pick up any of the internet sites that are live streaming it off of Hawaii, it's quite beautiful to watch the shadow slowly work its way across the sun as the shadow of Venus moves between us and Sol's disk. So, my next guest is the principal at Yakuske-Dahiti. Am I saying that right?
Yakuske-Dahiti.
Yakuske-Dahiti School. Sarah Marino has been the principal now for 3 years, she tells me, and we're going to talk a little bit about this alternative high school. What is alternative about this high school?
We're really just another option for kids in Juneau and giving kids some choices about where they go to school and what school looks like for them.
So the two main high schools, JDHS and Thunder Mountain High School, house the majority of our students. What percentage of high school students attend Yakuske?
Probably about 10%. We typically have about 120 to 150 students on our campus. And that will change over the course of the year because as students get the credits that they need and the education, we will exit them and do a graduation ceremony mid-year and set them out into the world. And so we'll get new students every quarter, so every couple of months. We have new kids on campus.
So at least one of the differences between the traditional high school and here is that it's much more common that a student will finish out in mid-year.
Absolutely, yeah. It can happen at any one of the quarters. We just help coach them along and do their credit checks and make sure that all of those same graduation requirements that they would have to do at Juneau Douglas or Thunder Mountain are obtained and work with them on a specialized graduation plan.
How does a student come into Yakuske?
Well, there's a variety of ways. Their counselor or somebody from their home school may recommend our school as an option. Many students learn about us from their friends and family who have had a wonderful experience at Yakuske. And some just walk in and say, hey, I need something different. Tell me about your school.
And if a student walks in and says, hey, I need something different, who does that student normally talk to?
Every single student goes through a short interview with me. And we talk about what's going to be the best fit for that individual. And I just tell them all the wonderful things about Yakuske and some of the things that might be different. I mean, we're not going to be the best fit for every single kid, but we are a wonderful option for many students.
What kinds of things might prompt a high school student to ask those questions, to say, you know, I don't think this school, JDHS, TMHS, wherever I'm going now, I don't think this school is right for me?
So some of the things that our students really love about our school is we feel like a family because we're a small size. You get to know everybody in the building. Every single teacher will know who you are, and you will know who the other students are. There won't be a face that's really unfamiliar to you. And so students really enjoy that family and community-like feel to our school. Students really enjoy our small class sizes. We keep class sizes under 16 so that students get the attention from teachers that they may need. And then something else that's really different about our school is we tend to be very project-based and very community-based. And so in your history class, you may have a guest speaker quite frequently, or you may take frequent field trips to different places within our community. The science classes go out into the field and work with scientists to do research. And even the math kids go out and they do projects. So it tends to be very hands-on and very real world. And our students really appreciate that.
I know you've been working with a Department of Labor grant that has put in some courses that emphasize preparing people for work and like that as well.
Absolutely. It's one of our big missions is to help students prepare for what happens after high school. The diploma is not the end goal at our school. It's just the starting point, and we want kids to know what's out there in the world and have their options open to them and be ready for their next steps, or at least know what those options are to them.
Sarah, you've been principal now for, you said, 3 years.
That's
what did
correct.
You do before that?
Yeah, I was the science teacher at Yakuske for 4 years before that, and then I started teaching in the district at Santokahini and worked with the Native Education Program there for a year, and so kind of got my feet wet working with kids in alternative ways and doing a lot of summer camps and things like that as well, which was really enjoyable.
So you've really specialized, I think, in the sort of alternatives to the traditional path through school. What drew you to that?
Well, I think I was kind of an alternative kid in a lot of ways. Really curious about the world, pretty smart, and didn't always feel like I fit into school. I was homeschooled for several years and finally in high school needed to finish out and get my diploma because that wasn't an option in homeschooling in the community I grew up in. But started to find my way after I had some different options and alternatives in my education.
What are the future plans for Yakuske? What will happen? What are new things that will be happening over the next year, say?
Well, we really hope to continue to grow our school community. The district would like to see us grow our numbers just a little bit, but we really don't want to become too big. But we're pretty excited about that. We have some exciting renovations happening in the Marie Drake building, which has been our home for the last 3 years. And most people know that that building is in some need of renovation. So we're very excited that we're getting to help kind of create our home at this point.
Good. If students are interested in perhaps starting in the fall with Yakuske, who would they contact and when would that contact need to be made?
Well, I'm going to be working for the rest of June pretty much off and on, and so they are always welcome to call the school at 523-1802 and get a hold of me. And if I don't pick up right away, leave a message. I'm really good about returning them. You can also go to the school district website and contact me through our webpage, and anybody at the district office can make that happen as well. And then Marie Drake will be open again in August, and so if you'd like to stop by in August, that's another good way to come and visit and see what our program is about.
Great. Sarah Marino, principal at Yakuske Dakahidi. Did I get closer that time?
You did it.
Hey,
good
right.
job.
Okay, good enough. Thank you so much for coming on the show and
Thanks, Pat.
This is Bird Note. I'd grown tired of winter. Then, one sunny day in early spring, friends called who needed help putting up a hoop house, a large yet movable greenhouse. Their home and garden overlook a wetland that in spring becomes an amphitheater for chorus frogs at night. That day, mallards and widgeons muddled about, and male red-winged blackbirds courted their harems. several of us answered the call and, as with a barn raising of old, came with hammers in hand, ready to work. A parade of chickens passed by. Everyone was responding to the warmth of the sun. Then on signal, we slid the heavy plastic over the ribs of the greenhouse and secured it with strips of lath. The job done, we gathered on the porch to soak up the sun. This was unlike us. We're all busy people who don't often take time to relax. As we talked, a new sound began to fill the air. We looked up to see scores of violet-green swallows arriving from their winter homes thousands of miles to the south. As they swirled and swooped, we laughed at our good fortune to witness the moment of their return. "Welcome back," we called to them, and to each other we said, "We should do this more often." For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
Tomorrow on KTOO's Juno Afternoon, Jeff will be talking with some folks from the Cato Nation about a canoe trip that they're in the process of from Hoonah to Auk Bay and their participation in Celebration, which is coming up. The Celebration Parade, by the way, the grand entrance parade for Celebration will be Thursday, June 7th, and that parade will begin at 8:15 in the morning. It'll be at the Alaska Native Brotherhood Hall, where it starts on Willoughby Avenue, and then it'll go along Willoughby and end at Centennial Hall by 10:15. And that will affect traffic on Warrior Street, Willoughby Avenue, Whittier Street, Village Traffic, and West 3rd Street, again on Thursday morning. So if you're out and about between 8:15 and 10:15 in the morning, you can expect some slowdowns and like that. And if you are interested in watching the parade, you may park your car somewhere else because the parking lot's on Willoughby Avenue and the State Office Building, Department of Environmental Conservation, 400 Willoughby Avenue Building, and the Fireweed Place parking lot will be closed off at approximately 8 in the morning. They will reopen at about 10:05. So if you normally park in one of those lots during the day, you may not be able to do so until after 10:05 in the morning. Expect some traffic delays in the area for the Celebration Parade. KTOO Juno, we broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas, and we also broadcast on a set of translators throughout the area, K276 AM.